tonight, you better be excited, because if you're not, we're going to light you up this morning, and I'll tell you that. We talked about the journal. The journal's back there. It's usually $15 for this meeting. It's $10 a year. It comes out quarterly. Also, we have the scripture reference cards that peel off in the back, sit right in the front of your Bible. It's in various different languages right at the present time. And so we have it in all kinds of languages, and one it in more languages. I think it's in about 6-7 languages now. We just had a book translated into the French language. I have it in the Russian. I have it in Spanish. Portuguese. I know it's in Portuguese. It's also in Myanmar, in the language there. Malayalam in lower part of India. So it's in Malayalam too. So we're excited about what's going on in the ministry. So we want you to partake of that. So we have them back there. Just go ahead and get you one of them. Get one magazine per family. And Matthew 25, verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. We're going to stay right in this text all the way in this text, and we're not going to get out of it. So we're going to get everything we want right out of here. So God's really blessed in that. Amen? You excited about it? You can say amen to Church of Christ. I mean, that's all right. I didn't speak it in tongues, so don't get excited about that. Matthew 25 and verse 14, we're going to read that first verse, and then we're going to pray. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, this morning we're talking to the church. We're talking to the blood-bought members of the body. But Father, we're also talking to those that are outside the body of Christ who need to obey the gospel of Christ this morning. Father, help us to convey a message that might hit the heart of every person in here, that they might see their need to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, for those that are in the body, that are part of the body, that they may be compelled to do more than they're doing. Father, we ask that you might instill in each and every one of us a desire to see your will done, and for us each all to have a part in that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. He's still talking about the kingdom here. The kingdom is just like a man about to go on a journey, and he called his own slaves here. Servants in the King James Version, that's doulos in the Greek, and doulos here is bondservant. And we're talking about a person who is not just a slave that's taken over and bought and handcuffed and do the will of the master. We're talking about a person on the year of Jubilee who was set free, who would go to the priest and say he wanted to be a bondservant. They would take him there and they would put it all up there and run a hole through his ear. And he was a bondservant. He wanted to stay with his master because he was so good. It was his free will to be a slave, to be a servant of that master. That's the same thing you did. Nobody forced you to come down the aisle. Nobody forced you to be immersed into Christ. Nobody made you do that. You did that voluntarily because you loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they saw the doulos at that time, when they saw that hole in his ear, they didn't say, "Oh, he's a slave." You know what they said? "How great his master is, and how great our master is." And when they see you and me, that's exactly what they ought to see. How great our master is. How great Jesus is in our life. He said he went on a far journey. He's talking about himself. Jesus is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the master of all things. He said he gave unto them his goods. In the King James Version here, he said he gave unto them his possessions. Now, when I think about goods or possessions, I think about me giving it to somebody. Now, I don't have much, but I did have a 49 Chrysler. And that year it came in three different colors, black, black, and black, and I got the black one. Yeah, that'll surprise you. And I bought that 49 Chrysler. It only had 78,000 miles on it. And if I was going to give it away, I want to give it to somebody that's going to take care of it. But when I think about what Jesus gave, well, preacher, what did he give? Well, number one, he gave you the church. It's yours. It's what you do with it. What church. What's Jesus saying about the church here at Crown Hill? What's Jesus saying about the church where you meet at? Is he saying it's a soul-winning church? He's saying it's alive, it's dead, they're duds, they don't want to do anything? Whatever Jesus is saying about the church, it's your business. Well, wait a second, preacher. It's the preacher's fault. It's the preacher. Yeah, it's him. We paid him to do our bidding for us. No, you don't. You pay him to live. You can't pay him to preach. They paid me to live. You can't pay me to preach the gospel of Christ. I do that for nothing. You help me to live and to feed my family. It's your church. What's Jesus saying about your church? Well, it's the elder's fault. No, it isn't. You need to look in the mirror and say it's your fault, and then you'll be looking at the right person. If the church is a dead, it's your fault. It's partially your fault. You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. There's no way around it. It's your church. He delivered unto them his goods. He gave us the church. That's why in the book of Revelation, when it talks to seven churches, what's he do? He calls the churches by name. They were local autonomous churches. They were responsible for what is going on. I can't worry about what's going on in New York. I've got to take care of what's going on where I'm at. It's your church. The second thing he gave us is this. The Bible. The Word of God. Now we can either preach it, stand on it, pervert it, change it. It's in our hands. Everybody ascends that pulpit. It's in their hands. Everybody does the Lord's Supper. It's in your hands. Everybody teaches a class. It's in your hands. You can either preach it, teach it, or you can throw it away. It's in your hands. Well, I can't think of a greater calling than preaching the gospel of Christ. If you knew where I came from and to be able to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I became a Christian in 1980, in March 18th of 1980. 32 years I'm a Catholic. 32 years I knew Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you, blessed fruit of you, womb, Jesus, Hail Mary, Mother God, pray for us sinners now and time of our death. But I didn't know John 3:16. I didn't know one verse of Scripture. And then I did something no Catholic should ever do. Read the Bible. I never read the book. Never. I can't think of a greater privilege than to preach the gospel of Christ. Now look what happens here. He said, and to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, each according to his several ability. And he went on his journey. Now, a talent was 6,000 times a day's wage. So we say $100, we got $100 day wage now. If you had one talent, you got $600,000. If you had two talents, you had $1,000,002. If you had the five talents, you got $3 million. $3 million talents. $3 million. You say, well, wait a second, preacher, I don't have $600,000. I don't have $1,000,002. I don't have $3 million. Well, in the story, he's talking about money, but he's talking about the talents you used. Everybody that's been blood-bought has got a talent. Are you using the talent that you have? Well, I can't do anything. You're a liar. Well, I would talk to people, but I can't remember anything. What's your social security number? Huh? Your telephone number? If you was in the armed services, 2-3-4-4-1-5-7-9. That'd been a long time ago, and that's drilled into my eye. Don't tell me you can't remember anything. It's what you want to remember. What you want to learn. What you want to do. You know why some people, God didn't give people more than one talent? Because they can't handle the one God gives them. I mean, they get flooded. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You see, God knows who he can give the talents to and who he can't. We had a guy named Virgil Adams. First time I met Virgil Adams. Now, Virgil Adams couldn't talk right. Now, I'm going to act like Virgil Adams, but it isn't because I'm trying to make fun of Virgil. I just want to make a point. Virgil used to sit on that second pew, and the first time I met him at Lima Church of Christ, he's sitting there, and I went over to talk to him. I said, "Hi, how are you?" He's, "I'm all right, how are you?" I said, "I'm okay." He said, "Our Bible." "Okay. I'll go to the Bible bookstore and get your Bible." He said, "Okay." Went to the Bible bookstore, got him a Bible, come back, give him the Bible. Next week, look at the Bible. He looked at it and he goes, I said, "What's the matter?" "Not big enough print." Guy got a free Bible, and it's still not big enough print. "Okay, give me the Bible." Went back to the Bible bookstore, got a big print Bible. Went back to him, got the big, big Bible, and I said, "How's that, Virgil?" "Ain't big enough. I want to put the five fingers of fellowship around his throat. Choke off all the air passage that he had." So I said, "Okay," I give me the Bible, went back to the Bible bookstore, and I said, "Listen, I want colossal print. I'm not coming back here. I don't care if I have to have a front end loader to get that Bible in that church building. I want it." I mean, you could be blind and read the print. I took it to him and gave it to him, and he said, "I'm pretty good." So I turned to John 3:16 and I said, "Read that, Virgil." And he said this, "I can't read." Then I really wanted to hurt him. That guy couldn't read. He couldn't write. He didn't have a job. He rode a bicycle, and the police took the bicycle away from him. He was so dangerous. But one thing that guy did is win people. Wasn't shy about his faith. He shared the gospel with everybody. In fact, he'd stand beside me as they go out the door, and he'd say, and if there was new people there, he said, "You've been baptized. You need to be baptized." He'd be on them all the time. I'll never forget the time that he came up and he wanted to sing. He wanted to play a special on the piano. And you know, we say, "Okay." And he got over to the piano, and he began to play the piano for 5 minutes like that. And of course, I'm sitting up there and I'm going, and people starting to grin. He said, "I'm going to play another special for you." And okay. Next special, same thing. Finally, he got to his third. We didn't know the first two. We didn't even know the names of the first two. And he said, "I'm going to play the old rugged cross." We knew that. We had him. He was locked, man. We've got him. It's all over with for him. He did the same thing. And I'll never forget, we had a guy named Denny Bodisher there. And Virgil got done, and he come over to him, and he said, "Denny, how do you like the old rugged cross?" And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Virgil, I never quite heard it played that way before." That guy at least wanted to use his talent. What are you doing? He couldn't read, he couldn't write, he didn't have a house, he didn't have a job, but he had something that some of you don't have. And that's a desire to serve Jesus Christ with all your heart and all your soul. You're sitting in a pew doing nothing for the Lord, doing nothing for the kingdom of God. And yet there was that man, Virgil Adams, who if everybody looked at him, us, he's ignorant, he's stupid, he's got nothing. That's what the world thought of him. But God said he is a saint. He's a soul winner. That guy drive me nuts. I'm just telling you the truth. And the guys, just like with you, they'd send Virgil to me to drive me nuts. Well, he came to me one time, I'll never forget this. And he said, "Hey, I want a brand new license." They sent him to get a preaching license. He said, I don't want a preaching license. I thought he said fishing license. And so I told him to go to Walmart. He got mad. I said, well, go to Kmart then. I don't care. And they would do that. But one day, Virgil passed away. And I got a call, and man, I cried my eyes out. That guy drove me nuts. But he was an inspiration. And I'll never forget that funeral I preached. That was the largest crowd that church had ever had. Why? Because they knew him. And we told stories about him and laughed. In fact, the funeral director told me that he would fall down before he became a Christian. If it was wintertime, he'd fall down in his one-horse town. And they had the funeral director with an ambulance service. And he'd act like he had appendicitis. And he'd fall in somebody's thing, so he'd go to the hospital and get a free meal. And he'd go, oh! Well, the funeral director told me he had three funerals that day. And they got the call, and his brother was in from college. And he had his brother drive the ambulance to go pick up Virgil. And he was with his brother. And they picked up Virgil, and he said, the funeral director said, I got so mad that Virgil's in there. And Virgil's going, oh, I'm hurt so bad, you know. And the funeral director said, I don't have time for this. So he said, Virgil, he said, it looks like it's worse than it's ever been. And he pulled out a knife. He said, we're going to have to operate right here. And Virgil went out the back of that ambulance so fast it was pitiful. But he would sit there. And before I get up and preach, he said, I'm watching you, preacher. You better preach the truth. And when I preached that funeral, I'll never forget. And I looked down there and I said, no, now I'm watching you, Virgil. Listen, folks. You can reason. You can talk. You can walk. You've got an education, and you won't do it. See, that isn't what the thing is. It's your desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he gave each one according to the several ability. And immediately, the one in verse 16 received the five talents, went and traded them, and gained five more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the two talents gained two more. But he that had received the one went and dug in the ground, hid his master's money. Can you imagine that? The guy had two, got two more. The guy got five more. But the one guy had one talent. He goes over in the corner. He digs a big hole, and he puts his talent in there. Then it says that the Lord's coming back. This is second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after a long time, verse 19, the master of them came and settled accounts with them. We are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is not one of us going to get away with it. There's not a free pass, P-A-S-S. We have a free P-A-S-T when we're immersed into Christ. But we don't have a free P-A-S-S, buddy. It's up to us. And the Lord is going to reckon with us too. Look what he says. Verse 20, and the one that had received the five talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted five talents to me. I've gained five more. He said, I've got five. I said, I've got five more. His master said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter ye into the glory of your Lord or your master. Steakhouse, me and Judy. I like to hear the cow fall. I want to hear moo. Well, I like my medium rare and more rare than medium. But she likes hers well done. And when it comes out, mine looks this big and hers looks like a hockey puck. The same steak, and she said, I can't figure out why you get such a big steak and I don't. Well, it's a hockey puck. And then she tried to cut it. It looks like sawdust coming off of it, see? I like my medium rare. But God on that judgment day is never going to say, medium. servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Some people rarely do anything. They rarely preach, they rarely pray, they rarely sing, they rarely give, they rarely do anything in the Lord's church. He's going to say, I never ordered you. He's not going to say on that judgment day, medium done, my good and faithful servant. Some people are medium. They're in and out. You don't know if they're going to be here or not. Or they got an inner tube around their waist. There's a TV program going on that they can't stand to be here in the assembly to watch. We got people from Kentucky in the Commonwealth, Kentucky. If Kentucky's playing, they'll stay home. Well, I'll tell you what, Kentucky ain't playing in heaven. And Jesus is the only game in town. And if Jesus is number one, you're in big trouble. He's not going to say, medium done, my good and faithful servant, enter out to joy the Lord. There's only one servant he likes. Well done. Well, is he going, don't you want him to say that to you? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Oh, that's what I'm waiting for. That's why I'm faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I want to serve Jesus with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. Now look what happened. In verse 22, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. What was the difference in the reward between the guy that had the 5 talents, gained 5 more, the guy that had 2 talents, gained 2 more? Absolutely nothing. I may preach 10,000 sermons, but you're going to have as much gold to walk on as I am. You may make the communion bread up here. You may have a class over here. I may preach in all kinds of countries, and I preach in 20 states. This is my 20th state to preach in. But I'm telling you what, I can preach in 20 states. I baptize 1 million people. But if you just use the talent God gave you, you'll have as much gold to walk on as I will. You'll be in front of the throne just as well as I will. You'll have the glory of God shining on you just as well as I have. But you better find your talent and use it. Now look what happened. And the one who had received 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew you was hard. I knew you was a hard, hard man. Reaping where thou not sowed and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. You have what is yours. He said, man, I was afraid. I hear the talent, but here, look here. Here's the talent. Here's the talent, Jesus. Here it is. I didn't lose it. No, I didn't. What good is that soul that you could have won going to be on the day of judgment? Is going to be absolutely worthless. There are going to be some people with their checkbook out on the day of judgment. Lord, I know I didn't tithe or give, Lord. I just didn't get, but I got checkbook here. I've been saving it. Got interest too. Here, give me a pen. Give me a pen. Let me out. Come on, help me. It's all yours. And you know what? I'm just not going to give a tithe, Lord. It's all yours. Yes, yeah. What? You're no good, Dan. I'm going to tell you what. Some of you are going to go to hell with your money. I don't care if you've been immersed into Christ or not. You're supposed to rise and walk in a newness of life. And you're not going to give him the money on the judgment day. It could have been used for missions. Could have been used to win other people. It's going to do absolutely no good in that day. You better get it out now. You better use it now. Because you don't understand the principles that God will bless you ever more than you've ever thought. And if you've never given, you don't know. But I'm telling you what. Trust me. No, wait a second. Don't trust me. Trust the king. He's the one that said he'd bless you more than you ever thought. Lord, here's a class I could have taught. Here's a song I could have sung. Here's a job I could have done. That will be absolutely worthless on the day of judgment. You better dig it up and use it now. Now look what he said in verse 26. But his master answered and said unto him, you wicked. Wicked. Wait a second. Lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered not. Oh man, he called him wicked. Now, you know, most of church would say this about this guy. Now, I want you to get this straight. It's in red, so it's got to be Jesus talking here. If it ain't red, you're in trouble. So we know it's in red. If it was most of church and this guy was coming before the judgment seat of God, what we'd say, he meant well. He's just good, old boy. Yeah, I come from the hills, you know, and down where we was, and I preach in Kentucky, and I say, he's a good old boy. Y'all know that. The Lord called him wicked. Well, preacher, to be wicked, you got to be in sin. I can't think of a greater sin than God blessing you with a talent and you not using it. Well, I just can't talk to people. Is that why you're on Mall Bow all the time? Hey, Gertie, did you see? You was in church the other day. Did you see what Mabel was wearing? I don't know where she got them clothes. Oh, we need to take up a collection for her and get her something good. And you know that tie the preacher wears? Lord have mercy, where did he get that off of? I bet he got it off eBay where it's cheaper or something, because nobody would sell that in a store. You get on the phone, talk about what you like, talk about what you love. I guess you don't love Jesus enough to talk about him. Talk about basketball, talk about baseball, talk about the Mariners. We talk about Jesus. He's not number one in your life. Can you send a card? Can you do that? Well, if you can do that, that may be your talent. But do something for the kingdom. Because we have a King, Jesus. He has created all things. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Then he said, you're lazy. Lazy. In the King James Version, it says sloth. You ever go to the zoo and see a sloth? How many seen one? You raise your hand, go ahead. What's a sloth do? Lay around, do nothing. You know what? Some of those sloths will die rather than move to eat. It's been proven. You ever watch Wild Kingdom? When that was on, I'm dating myself. Remember Marlon Perkins? Huh? Anybody remember that? Okay. And Jim? I always like Wild Kingdom because Marlon was cool. I like Marlon. Marlon's sitting in the boat. Jim's in the water. And this is what Marlon said. Jim's having trouble with that anaconda. Did you ever see Marlon jump in? Ain't no way. And that's how a lot of people are. They see the anaconda grabbing the people in the congregation, and they're saying, preacher, you need to do more. Elders, you need to do more. Deacons, you need to do more. But you won't do anything because you're a lazy sloth. Won't go calling. Won't help with the bulletin. Won't clean the building. Won't make the Lord's Supper. Won't do anything. Wicked and lazy servant. This is what King Jesus said about him. Now look what he says. He He said, you ought to put my money into the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Well, what's he talking about then? Well, he's talking about, listen, if you can play the piano, teach somebody else. If you're not going to play it, teach somebody else to play it. If you're too scared to get up there, but you know the Bible, teach somebody else the Bible, get up there. At least get something out of it. Now look what he says here. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Well, wait a second, preacher. You mean you can lose your talent? Oh, yeah. You guys that sing and you guys that play the piano know that if you do not sing, you're going to lose your talent. If you play the piano and you stop playing the piano, I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to walk up there 2 years from now and be able to play like you've been able to play. It takes practice, it takes practice, it takes practice. And when you're a servant of Christ, you're always practicing. In other words, you're always getting ready because the game's coming. Jesus is coming, going to break the sky. Are you ready for the game? Because there's not going to be any overtime. When he comes, it's over. Take away that talent. I know that for a fact because when you have memory work, we have memory work in school, and they have to learn 1,000 verses in the first year, and they go on Christmas break or whatever, and they come back, and you know what? They haven't been doing it. And I ask them a question because we have a buzzer. You got to answer the question in 5 seconds. You get 5 points if you answer the question in 5 seconds. If you don't, it goes to the next guy, and he gets you 10 points. And you get a minus 10. So that's what we do. We got a timer there. We got a stopwatch. So I said Matthew 5:13. What is it? Just go through all that. And they know that. Matthew 1, genealogy. 1:18 is the birth of Christ. 2 is the Magi. 3:1 is John come. 3:2, preaching. 3:3, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 3:4, he's eating locusts, wearing camel hair. See, we get them all in there, and they go down through those scriptures and through those scriptures. But if you don't keep up with it, you're going to lose it. Now look what happens. Look what he says. Verse 30. Oh man, this is sad. This is sad. Remember what I said to begin with is doulos. This is a servant. This is somebody in the Lord. And applied to someone in the Lord. Now we can apply that to that. The doulos, we came willingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. We willingly obeyed the gospel. He said, cast out the worthless servant. The worthless doulos into the outer darkness in the place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh man. You mean I could be lost? Absolutely. Listen, you better realize something. When you get in the army of God, you can't go AWOL. Not for a day, and not for a minute. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. My Christianity don't change, but some of you got a time card out here, and you think you got a time card, and you punch out when you hit that door, and you become the man that you aren't in here. You become the woman that you aren't in here. You become the child that you aren't in here. In here we can yell, holy, holy, holy. It was like in the Catholic Church. We go in there and go to confession and say 5 Hail Marys, 3 Our Fathers, and 2 Glory Bes, and I'd go out the back door, the side door, and I'd head to the bar, and I'd be drinking in the bar. Here come the priest, sit right down beside me, buy me a drink. That's the truth. It's a shame. Don't punch out when you leave. See, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is residing in you. And if you look in that Greek word, that only refers to the inner sanctuary. You look at that word in the Greek, talking about the Holy of Holies. That's you. And you need to realize who you are. And you need to realize that the Holy Spirit resides within you. This morning, we're going to give the invitation. We're going to ask you to obey the gospel of Christ. There's only one plan of salvation. I don't care what everybody else is pushing out there. That's just the way it is. You want to argue with it? You're going to argue on the day of judgment with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're not going to win the argument. And I believe when you reach that judgment day, there ain't going to be no arguing, because the glory of the Lord is going to shine so much that you're going to be absolutely stuttering. You'll be knocked down to your knees because He is holy. To believe that Jesus is the Christ, the living God. Do you believe that? Well, you're partway home. To confess Him before men. Not confess your sins that I did in the Catholic Church, but confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who He really is, the Messiah, the Holy One. The one who's coming back. The Master of the universe. To repent. Go a different way. Change of mind. I told you I was a staff sergeant, platoon sergeant in the Army, and I cussed like crazy. I mean, I couldn't say about five words without cussing somebody out. And I remember after I became a Christian, we was roofing the house. And I was up on the roof, and you had to climb out the dormer on the bathroom to get up on the roof. And I climbed up on the roof, and I was nailing them shingles down, buddy. I was hitting it. Man, I was hitting it. I was doing bad, you know, grabbing them. I said, I can lay more than anybody else, and I did. I laid my thumb wide open. I hit my thumb, and everything went everywhere. And I said, whoa! And I didn't say a cuss word. And I hung up off that roof, and I beat on that window. I said, Judy, I did it. Judy, I did it. Judy, I did it. She come around. What'd you do? She said, I can see blood's going everywhere. I said, no, that isn't it. No, she said, you smashed your thumb. I said, I know that, but that isn't it. She said, what? I said, I didn't cuss. I made it. That's what God can do in your life. Change your life and set you free. Be immersed for the forgiveness of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and rise and walk in the newness of life. It's easy to get in there. It's hard to walk the talk. As we stand and sing our song of invitation, we need to realize that God has called us to be faithful.